This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. Natural gas. We all use it, whether it's what makes it possible to turn the lights on or behind the manufacturing process of any number of goods we buy. And most believe it's a much cleaner fuel than coal. But having an interstate natural gas pipeline built through your community or through environmentally sensitive wildlands, some people think that's not such a good idea. Dominion Energy says it's looking at the possibility of constructing a pipeline running from West Virginia east into Virginia's Highland, Augusta, and Nelson counties, then south to the Carolinas. A number of groups are organizing opposition. Dominion's trying to make its case to regulators and the public. A Dominion representative and some of those opposed to the pipeline have agreed to talk with us this hour, and you'll be welcome to join in too when our conversation begins right after the news. Great to be with you. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. Got opinions on natural gas pipelines? Questions about proposed possible new construction of such lines in the Old Dominion? 888-WMRA-TALK is the easy way to remember our call-in number. In all numbers, that translates to 888-967-2825. Later in the hour, we expect to meet up with the chief spokesperson for Dominion Energy, the one company that still has a proposal on the boards for constructing a new interstate pipeline that would travel through portions of the WMRA listening regions. But we start with some of those people who've been doing their best to focus public attention on pipeline construction plans and opposition to those plans. Here in the Insight studio, Ernie Reed, president of the environmental group Wild Virginia and co-founder of the recently formed pipeline opposition group based in Nelson County that calls itself Friends of Nelson. Plus, Nancy Sorrells, a former Augusta County supervisor and co-founder of the new anti-pipeline group that calls itself the Augusta County Alliance. Also with us by phone, the director of state policy for the Piedmont Environmental Council, Dan Holmes. Thank you all so very much for making time for us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Thanks a lot. Looking forward to it.
Well, Mr. Holmes, while Ms. Sorrells and Mr. Reed are part of groups currently fighting against a specific pipeline proposal, I understand your organization at present is mostly monitoring the position of different possible pipeline construction projects. So let me go to you first. What can you tell us about the status of natural gas pipeline proposals that have come to light in both Western and Central Virginia?
Well, we first became aware that our state would potentially be targeted for proposals for new natural gas, interstate natural gas lines, because we track the Regional Transmission Authority for Natural Gas, which is PJM, standing for Pennsylvania, Jersey, Maryland. In conversations that they were having internally, we became aware that due to shortfalls in natural gas over this past winter, which is just fun to say, so I'm going to throw it into the conversation, due to the polar vortex,
we had
shortages in natural gas, and therefore that there would be the need to construct new natural gas lines. I would also suggest that we were very much aware that we had natural gas supplies in Pennsylvania and West Virginia that were stranded. In other words, huge supplies with no ability to get it to market. So there was a desire by the companies and those with natural gas interests to find markets for that supply. And I would also point to back in early April, we became aware of a request for proposals, an RFP, that was issued by two companies jointly, Piedmont Natural Gas and Duke Energy, to bring natural gas to North Carolina for the purposes of converting some of their coal-fired power plants to natural gas. And this is probably somewhat in relation to the desire to meet carbon controls as it relates to EPA's climate change initiatives and rules that were coming down, as well just the fact that natural gas has become a lot cheaper recently, and converting to that fuel type made sense financially for some of these companies. So you put all that together, and we were fairly certain we were going to see at least a couple of natural gas proposals, or for pipelines, in Virginia. The first to announce was Spectra Energy. And shortly thereafter, maybe about 4 or 5 days later, Dominion announced a project as well. Following that came a third proposal that was jointly put forward by Nextra Energy and EQT. So those companies have all got their own proposals on the table, and I wouldn't say that any one of the issues that I raised was the emphasis for this, but I think that all of them come together to kind of push these companies towards trying to find a route through our state to get it to southeastern states.
Now, the third company that you mentioned would go through basically eastern portions of Virginia?
The first company was Spectra Energy.
Well, I'm sorry, the third one.
Oh, the third one, yes. It's down in actually southwestern Virginia. It comes down, I can't remember all the counties, but it stops short of North Carolina. The one thing I have seen,
okay,
though,
the reason that I mentioned that,
yes,
that for the purposes of this discussion, we're probably going to focus primarily on Spectra and even more so on Dominion.
Correct.
WMRA's listener area extends through most of the Shenandoah Valley, the greater Charlottesville region, including all the counties that touch upon Albemarle, in some cases a little further out into central Virginia. Plus, we have a signal south side in Farmville.
Okay.
The Spectra Energy proposal would have come, if I understood correctly, from Pennsylvania, south into Virginia, within our listening area, would, I think, have touched upon Madison, Orange, Louisa counties, and then gone further south. Is that right?
Correct. It also clipped Albemarle County as well. That's what we could tell from the maps that were released.
And then the Dominion proposal would have a pipeline originate in West Virginia and go east, getting into Virginia, first in Highland County, then cross Augusta County, then into Nelson County. Then I think it goes down into Buckingham and further south before it gets into North Carolina.
Correct.
Something new has happened just within the past few days, Dan Holmes, mm-hmm. with the Spectra Energy proposal that makes it look like that's kind of off the boards for now?
That is correct. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's off the board, but a statement was released, and actually the Highland Recorder, I believe, first reported it. But a statement was released that indicated Spectra Energy was suspending their work on the proposed Carolina project, which comes in at Frederick and Warren County as it continues south through our region and your listeners' region before making its way down to North Carolina. Now, what they have said in that statement is that they'll continue to evaluate opportunities in the region, which could include the initial study corridor in our area. And should there be developments, they'll keep us informed. But they also mentioned that they are interested in partnering potentially with Dominion Resources on their Southeastern Reliability Project.
So we're going to talk a little bit later in the hour with somebody from Dominion, but it is my understanding Ernie Reed from Wild Virginia and Nancy Searles from the Shenandoah Valley Network, that much of the focus of the variety of organizations that the two of you are involved in is on that Dominion project that would originate in West Virginia. Tell us about where your group stand and why, in fact, you're taking a stand. Nancy?
Well, that is exactly correct. It's a 550-mile pipeline that starts in West Virginia at some of the natural gas wells, comes through West Virginia into Highland, Augusta, Nelson, and then on down into North Carolina with a spur to Chesapeake. And while we don't really want to make this a fight over the pros and cons of fossil fuels, I think what we're focused on is the fact that we have this incredibly large pipeline that is being inserted upon the landscape, in our case Augusta County, through our farmlands, our very productive farmlands, our forests, without really any input that can come from the public. It's totally something that's being done by a private corporation and inserting themselves on our lands without our permission or our input into it.
Yeah, bringing up property rights is really key because that's, I think, really the lead topic in Nelson County. I'm one of the property owners that received a letter to of the potential survey across the land, and in that letter, and as it's our understanding, the Dominion, whether you give them a right to be able to come on your land to do the survey or not, they claim they're allowed to do that. And, so this becomes a basic property rights issue for landowners and for businesses and for farms and folks that are impacted by this who would certainly rather not see a pipeline across their land. So some residents of Nelson County have actually sued Dominion based on this, and at least temporarily, their lands have not yet been surveyed. But there are now letters that have gone out, and surveys are starting to happen in Nelson County.
Ernie Reed, you have long been active with and currently are president of the environmental group Wild Virginia, and much of its focus has been wildlands in Virginia, including the George Washington National Forest. Is there something about the Dominion proposed possible pipeline that is a concern for you in that realm?
Absolutely. In fact, that was how this first came to light. The initial proposal was that this pipeline was going to cross over 50 miles of public land, some of it in the Monongahela in West Virginia, but over 40 miles of it through the George Washington National Forest. Some of the areas which have been on the pipeline route are some of the most sensitive and high conservation areas for Wild Virginia and other conservation groups, cutting right across the south part of Shenandoah Mountain. And given populations of rare species like Kaunab salamander, the sensitive wetlands in some of those areas, some roadless areas, the whole prospect of having a 125-foot impact zone for construction of such a pipeline bisecting the national forest is pretty egregious. And so it got our attention immediately, and we've been in touch extensively with the George Washington National Forest to find out exactly what opportunities there are for the public and for the federal agencies to deal with this.
Dan Holmes with the Piedmont Environmental Council. Would you agree that people do need access to natural gas, that it's important to run utilities, that it's important to do manufacturing, that many believe it's an improvement over using coal? And if, in fact, you do agree that natural gas is needed, is it just that this pipeline, people are saying, is going in the wrong places? Or is it that people are opposed to any pipeline anywhere?
Well, I think that people are right to ask at what cost, regardless of the pipeline proposal, regardless of the locations going through. And that with regard to Virginians, and whether you're up in our region or whether or not you're living in Nelson or further south and are being impacted by a proposal, or for that matter not, you still often care about a lot of the resources on the ground. I don't live next to Montpelier in Orange County. However, when Spectra originally proposed a pipeline, they drew a line through Montpelier's property, and it actually went through a Civil War encampment that was there. So obviously there are resources along the way, regardless of the proposal, that are going to be impacted. And I think that a company such as Dominion or Spectra or whoever that may be proposing their line owes the citizens of Virginia to, one, assure us that the line is necessary for the public benefit, but two, to demonstrate that they are doing their best to avoid those resources that are important to all Virginians in our history, as well that they are, if they're unable to avoid them, that they're doing their utmost to mitigate the damage that would be done.
With us by phone, State Policy Director for the Piedmont Environmental Council, Dan Holmes, here in the Insight Studio from the environmental group Wild Virginia, Ernie Reed, from the environmental group Shenandoah Valley Network, Nancy Sorrells, This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. We have to pause for a brief break, but when we get back, I do believe that we're going to Swope for a call from Carol. Carol, please hold on. Talking pipelines on this edition of Virginia Insight. Here in the Insight studio from the environmental group Wild Virginia, we have Ernie Reed from the environmental group Shenandoah Valley Network, Nancy Sorrells, with us by phone from the Piedmont Environmental Council, Dan Holmes. We're going next to Swope. Carol, thanks for calling in. Your question or comment for our guests, please.
Thank you. The latest map for the possible pipeline route shows it lying right next to our property. Apart from fearing for our own land, I'm very afraid of the effect of this pipeline on the ecology of our whole beautiful region, particularly because of the apparent need to blast stream beds and lay this huge line through very steep wooded terrain. Would your guests please comment on what you think the possible ecological effects of this pipeline could be?
I'd be glad to, Carol. Thanks a lot. First, let me just explain what she's talking about, the latest route, because we've been working. Everything about this project has been pulling a little piece here and a little piece there and trying to put it together like a giant puzzle. It's been a little frustrating because Dominion has not been forthcoming with information, so we've had to find out what the width of the permanent easement would be, find out where the route would go. And so there was originally a proposal that took the route further south through Augusta County, about 50 miles, went through Deerfield and went through Middlebrook and out through the Sharando area up to Nelson County across the parkway. Just last Tuesday at a meeting in Highland County, Dominion indicated they'd made some tweaks to the Augusta County line and posted a new map, which we had our GIS people put onto a very detailed map. And the tweaks are 50 miles of new route. I don't think there's a foot that's the same. And it would indeed bring it close to Churchville, Swope, very close to Stanton's water supply areas. And through, as Carol said, either route would take you through streams. And I think we're very concerned about a number of things. This 75-foot permanently cleared easement, the possibility of it being maintained with herbicides that can get into our water system. But anywhere you go in Augusta County, you're going through what's called karst geology, which means that we're basically living on top of Swiss cheese, and water goes anywhere and any place, and we can't control. If it goes down in one area, it may show up somewhere else many miles away. And how are you going to put a 42-inch pipeline that's buried 10 to 12 feet deep into this terrain where you would have caves and sinkholes and springs that open up randomly? And what kind of damage does that do environmentally? What does it do to our water system or the headwaters of the Shenandoah and the James? And in fact, what they drink in Washington, D.C. comes from our place, so maybe it's already contaminated from looking at what happens in Washington, D.C. But we don't want to damage that very valuable water source, and so it's a great concern about where this pipeline's going to go, and everybody ought to be concerned.
Carol, thank you so very much for your call. For other listeners who've been trying to call us and finding that we have a busy signal at the moment, I do need to ask you to be patient. We're going to get to as many calls as we can, but the issues are complicated, and lots of people have questions and comments that they want to make. And I think we're going to get one now from Charlottesville, from Chess. Thank you for joining us. Your question or comment, please.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much for having me on Virginia Insight. I think I and my family are pretty unique position to comment on this, because our property, we have a 1,700-acre property in Highland County, right on the West Virginia line where the proposed pipeline plans on coming through. And as either Dan or Ernie mentioned, this in my mind is very much of a private property rights issue. In 2007, we put our entire property under a very restrictive conservation easement with the Nature Conservancy in hopes that we would protect this property forever. Both it was our dream, the dream of my father, and this easement is particularly restrictive in that it doesn't allow any new dwellings on the property. It protects Laurel Fork in its entirety, no cutting on Laurel Fork. We have vast preserves of old-growth timber that we won't allow cut. We did this out of our great love of this property and everything we have put into this property. And it's amazing to me that this pipeline could come through using this Virginia Code 56-49-01, therefore giving natural gas companies the right to enter your property for surveying and to punch a line through. So it just makes me wonder, if you think you're protecting your property to the maximum extent possible for your lives and your future generations, it's just amazing to me that that dream, that belief that you're actually protecting your property can be thoroughly just destroyed by this pipeline and the rights that the oil and gas industry have that people just don't seem to know about.
Dan Holmes with the Piedmont Environmental Council, is it correct to say that these kinds of interstate pipelines are governed primarily by federal law, and federal law is always going to trump state laws like what Chess is talking about with conservation easements?
Yes, it is fair to make that as a general statement. However, with regard to federal law, my understanding is the reason why we have the state code section 56-49.1 that was referenced, which allows for access for the purposes of surveying, that is an area where the federal government allows the states to determine how that access occurs prior to initiating an application with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So the state still has some control for that initial access. I would also like to make a statement in general with regard to his point on the conservation easements. In my opinion, and I think many others, a conservation easement is the ultimate expression of property rights. You are foregoing the development on your property and any profit or anything like that that would come out of that. In the case of his particular easement, you heard him describe forested resources on the property. And when we talk about the impacts of a pipeline and what that does, I mean, again, you're not allowed to have any trees planted along that right-of-way. So you're actually talking about forest fragmentation. You're actually talking about impacting the values that we have tried to protect through state and federal resources with a conservation easement. And so there is some state and federal investment in the protection of those resources, and here's where one, at least, easement comes into conflict with the impacts from a pipeline. There is no way to run a pipeline, to my knowledge, through a forested area without fragmenting that forest, without creating a cleared strip through it. And obviously, in this case, that easement would be devalued, and the protections that were offered would be severely impacted if the pipeline were to go through.
Chess, thank you very much for your call. On the phone line with us now is the Director of Communications for Dominion Energy, Jim Norville. Mr. Norville, welcome to Virginia Insight. Mr. Norville, are you there, sir?
Tom? Sorry, yeah. Here I am. Thank you.
I don't know if we surprised you and made you drop your phone or what happened.
No,
there,
but... there was a lovely fire truck going outside the window. I thought I better mute the phone so you didn't think something else was happening.
Well, what is it, sir, that you want the public to know about what Dominion is calling its Southeast Reliability Project pipeline proposal?
Sure.
Carry natural gas from West Virginia east into Virginia and then south into the Carolinas. Do I have that right?
That's correct. I think the first thing they need to know is that we are in the very early stages. We've used the word preliminary stages of dealing with routing this pipeline. We are doing our best to find the route that serves the purpose while also looking for one that has the least impacts to environmental, cultural, and historical assets. There's an amazing thing going on in the United States today. We are on the verge of energy independence, primarily because of the growth of natural gas for use in this country. The natural gas in the Marcellus Shale in the West Virginia and Pennsylvania area
6 short years ago, there was no gas coming out of that area, out of the Marcellus Shale. Today, there is 15 billion cubic feet of gas a day coming out of the Marcellus Shale. And there's a great demand for that gas to be used in primarily by companies looking to generate electricity by a means other than what they've been using, and that's primarily coal. There's also a demand for natural gas in the world of economic development. There are various counties along the route that have on the record of saying that we would like natural gas in our area to attract industry and to provide jobs. And then, of course, there are companies that are already in the natural gas distribution business, those companies that send gas to homes and businesses and communities. And they're looking for a way to get this affordable, dependable supply of natural gas as well.
Jim Norville, we have three people here with us who, I take it, are viewing the situation different than yourself and your colleagues at Dominion Energy. Nancy Searles, a former Augusta County Board of Supervisors member, is now with two groups that are opposing the proposed pipeline project. Ernie Reed, former high school teacher, two other groups, including Wild Virginia and Friends of Nelson, both opposing the pipeline possible project. And Dan Holmes from the Piedmont Environmental Council, as far as I know, the council hasn't taken a stand, but it is monitoring different pipeline proposals across Virginia. Mr. Holmes, you have to leave us in a few minutes, so let me go to you next. Do you have a question for Jim Norville before you do leave?
No, I think one thing I want to put out there, and again, this is not the position of my organization, but other considerations that I think people should be aware of, and that is kind of this idea that the opening of energy independence, the opening of the discussion about environmentally more friendly fuel versus coal, there's been a lot of research that has been done, and I'm not going to, again, state my belief in any one particular researcher or any particular report being the final answer on this, but there are considerations that I think people need to keep in mind. And when it comes to natural gas and the belief that it is a transition fuel, you need to factor in the complete fuel cycle of the natural gas, the emissions that are associated with that. You need to factor in the whether or not we're still exporting coal to be burnt elsewhere. And again, if we're I'm talking about just the general climate concerns that some of your guests or some of your listeners may be concerned about. Is switching to natural gas actually going to assist us in meeting our climate obligations? And a lot of questions have been asked on that subject. Furthermore, looking at renewable energy and the desire of many to see a more robust pursuit of solar and wind generation, is this actually delaying a faster implementation of those types of renewable energy projects? So, I hear a lot about the environmental benefit of transitioning to natural gas. But again, if we're still exporting coal to be burnt elsewhere, if there is emissions that aren't being calculated in the transmission or extraction of the natural gas, I think we as a nation should be at least pausing to make sure that we are on the right course.
Jim Norville from Dominion, I want to give you a chance to respond in just a moment, but first I need to say that our representative from the Piedmont Environmental Council, that group's Director of State Policy, Dan Holmes, has to leave us now. Mr. Holmes, thank you so very much, Dan, for carving out some time out of a busy schedule for us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jim Norville, response to what Dan was just saying?
Well, I think it's he had a fair assessment. If you look at what the president has said, they see it as a transition fuel, as a bridge fuel. If you see what others are talking about, that it's going to need all of the above, that we'll need all energy sources, be it nuclear, be it coal continually, be it natural gas, increasing use of natural gas, be it wind and solar, they're all going to have to play a role in our country's energy policy. That said, there are lots of folks who will tell you this country doesn't have an energy policy. I would disagree with that, but I would also say that we know that natural gas is going to play an increasing role in it. We know that the emissions from coal-fired generation in our own state have dropped dramatically and are dropping dramatically as we are transitioning either away from coal to natural gas or implementing environmental protection strategies such as new protection equipment at our stations. So the air in Virginia is getting cleaner, and one of the reasons air in Virginia is getting cleaner is because of natural gas.
Talking possibility of new natural gas pipelines in Virginia here on Virginia Insight. Jim Norville is with Dominion Energy. Ernie Reed is with Wild Virginia and Friends of Nelson. And Nancy Sorrells is with the Augusta County Alliance and the Shenandoah Valley Network. I'm Tom Graham. On Facebook, we're listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. And I think, Jim Norville, this from Kathy on our Facebook page is probably for you. She says, why can't they build their pipeline on their existing easements they already have for power lines? Why must they go snatching up lots of new land?
You know, that's a great question, Tom. Thanks for Facebook reader sending it in. We do, and in fact, the federal government, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, the agency from which we must receive permission to build this pipeline, encourages co-locating facilities where you can. And in fact, some places in Augusta County, in fact, we're looking at sharing or paralleling an existing electric right-of-way for part of the way. We do where we can, and I guess that's the challenge. When you think about high-voltage electric transmission lines, they're on towers that travel above ground, over creeks, over rivers, over ravines, and over soil that may be rocky. When you're looking at burying or putting a pipeline into the ground 10 feet, you need to take soil conditions into consideration that the electric voltage power line doesn't have to take. So we try to co-locate where we can. But we also know that the soil conditions, the topography, may restrict us in being able to co-locate great distances.
Speaking of existing,
this is Ernie Reed.
Thank you. Speaking of existing utility corridors, there's a current pipeline that already crosses through Virginia that is a Transco pipeline. And just recently, they've received approval from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to build an extension and a trunk line that would go to Southeast Virginia. But that corridor already exists, and there's certainly no reason that that corridor could not be expanded. And that would be one way to look at public benefits, but also we've talked about the cost of conservation easements, which happen at a cost to the property owner that might be overlooked in this. There's also public meetings that we've tried to initiate that don't really allow the public an opportunity to have any kind of open dialogue with Dominion for questions that they have. And my understanding is that that's not even going to be possible, if at all, until after FERC has already started the application process.
FERC?
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Thank you.
Jim Norville, I'm guessing that you may have something to say in response to what we just
heard
from Mr. Reed.
Well, pretty long-winded there.
I need to ask you to hold on. We've got just a one-minute break,
okay.
And then we're going to be back with more conversation about possible new pipelines in Virginia.
Do you have concerns over possible interstate natural gas pipelines running through your part of Virginia? Give us a call, 888-WMRA-TALK, that's 888-967-2825, to play a role in this conversation, or you can join in on the conversation at the Virginia Insight Facebook page at facebook.com/Virginia Insight.
Nancy Sorrells is a former two-term member of the Augusta County Board of Supervisors. She's here with us representing two groups who oppose the proposed Dominion Pipeline project. Those groups, the Augusta County Alliance and the Shenandoah Valley Network. Former high school teacher Ernie Reed lives in Nelson County, well, has property there at least. He also is representing two anti-pipeline groups, Wild Virginia and Friends of Nelson. Ms. Sorrells and Mr. Reed both with us in studio. Jim Norville from Dominion Energy, parent company to the firm that is considering building a new interstate natural gas pipeline that would travel through parts of Virginia. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. Let me make sure, Nancy, Jim, and Ernie, that I have these dates correct. Tuesday, August 12th, Nelson County holds a meeting in which Dominion is making a public presentation to supervisors about its possible pipeline project. You are both nodding your head here in the studio, so I guess I got that right.
I'm nodding my head, too.
Okay. Wednesday, August 13th, similar happening before the Augusta Board of Supervisors, both meetings at 7 p.m.?
That's correct.
Open to the public, but public questions not being taken. And we're getting some questions on why that is. And I think maybe Charles and Nellie's Ford, who's calling in here, has a specific on that as well. Charles, go ahead.
Hi, Tom, thank you. Yeah, there are several things I would like to mention, and we are having that meeting. And
First, if you would, what your concern is about the way these Board of Supervisor meetings are taking place.
I have a lot of concerns about the pipeline, and a lot of that's been covered, but it hurts the landowners, it hurts our...
Yeah, Charles, but I need to answer this question for people who are wondering about the meetings first.
Okay.
What's your concern there?
My concern is that there are quite a few questions that people have, and the time allotted to speak to that will be very brief, because that's the only way, as I understand it, that Dominion would agree to come and have a meeting was that we would not be able to have questions from the public, that we would have to submit them to our supervisors. And given the fact that they'll be dealing with other issues at the meeting and that Dominion will take a good bit of time with their presentation, there will be very little time left over for people to actually ask questions.
Okay, Charles, hang on. Jim Norville, respond, please.
Sure, thank you. These meetings with the boards of supervisors are at their regularly scheduled meetings. And certainly we believe that the supervisors need to hear from us, as do people in the audience. This is the first of multiple meetings where we will be back in the counties along the proposed corridor over the next couple of years. We will return to Nelson County next month with an open house where people can come in and talk to our experts and see the maps and see other information and be able to ask our employees all the questions they would like to ask. As soon as that date and location and time is set, we will be announcing it. We will also be doing that at each county along the route. And in some areas, it may be a regional meeting like one or two counties. We try to make sure that the driving time is not too far. But then once we get those out of the way, we'll be back in the first quarter of next year with additional meetings along with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So the meetings this week and continuing to this month in other counties, and the open houses that will be in September at dates and times to be announced are just the first of multiple meetings where we will be involved with the public to get the input into the route and into the project over the next 2 years.
Charles, please accept my heartfelt apologies for not having much time for you to go into further detail. But if you can be quick, mention one of your other concerns.
Well, it feels like an assault on property rights, and not just of the people who actually own the property. I am a property owner here in Nelson, and it's not slated to go through my land at this moment. But, you know, with the way this has been changed around, you can never tell who's really safe. And that's why a lot of people should show up at this meeting. And I wanted to say that, you know, it seems like a not in my backyard sort of issue, but I personally do not want to see any of these pipelines running through anyone's backyard. I think it's just wrong. I don't know what else to say.
Charles, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here on Virginia Insight. We have this on our Facebook page from Sharon, who says, Why has Dominion not done more to invest in renewable energy sources like wind and solar instead of continuing to use fossil fuels? Jim Norville.
Well, not my turf much anymore, but I can speak to it. Dominion is actively involved in renewable energy projects. We won the bid to study the possibility of building offshore wind generation off the coast of Virginia Beach. That's on a federal timetable. We will abide by the federal timetable. We have just opened up the largest solar generation facility in Virginia. We have a program where companies can lease us their rooftops, and then we will put solar panels on top of it that feed into our system. We have a large rooftop in Northern Virginia. I believe it's at a data center building. We also have a large rooftop installation at Canon's manufacturing facility in Gloucester County, and we also have one at Old Dominion University in Norfolk. We also have solar facilities in other states. Dominion is maybe headquartered in Virginia, but we have solar facilities in Georgia, in Connecticut, and in California. And we're looking all the time to add more of these. As I said earlier, it's going to take all these forms of electricity generating to meet the demands of our customers as they look new ways to use electricity to for their quality of life.
Right. I would like to chime in and just agree that Dominion does do a lot of environmentally positive things across the state, and I wouldn't disagree with that. This pipeline proposal, Dominion has said it will cost $4 billion. That would be a nice chunk of change to invest in some future-looking technologies rather than relying on fossil fuels. But that aside, I would just like to go back to the thought that natural gas is the silver bullet in a way for getting us off our coal addiction. And while on the surface it does look like natural gas in our power plants burns 50% cleaner, I think that's a false positive. The more we study natural gas, we see other emissions that do occur and sort of lower those positives. And then when you look at the natural gas process from start to finish, you begin to get points on the other side for negative effects to the environment. Yes, perhaps air is cleaner, but when you look at the water that's used in the extraction process in hydrofracking, when you look at the toxic chemicals that are mixed with the water and then the wastewater that's created, the erosion and sediment issues in our water systems, and then the environmental impact of running this incredibly large pipeline through our forest and farmland, and the loss of, for every mile of pipeline with the 75-foot permanent easement, you lose 9 acres of farmland or 9 acres of forest. All of a sudden, natural gas doesn't look, as positive as it did at the beginning.
Here in the Insight Studio from the environmental group Shenandoah Valley Network, Nancy Sorrells. From the environmental group Wild Virginia, Ernie Reed. With us by phone, Director of Communications for Dominion Energy, Jim Norville. Phone number 888-WMRA. Talk. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham, and on Facebook we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. We have this on our Facebook page. I'm sure, Jim, this is for you from Meredith, who says, why did Dominion choose this particular route for the pipeline? Why not choose a route through less sensitive areas or along existing easements? I guess you already spoke to the existing easements issue, but is it possible that you're going through some exceptionally environmentally sensitive areas that could be avoided?
Well, we're going to avoid the ones that are those that have to be avoided. I mean, that's an obvious statement. But if you look at the natural gas transmission system in this country, the pipelines usually, or the most of them, run from the Gulf Coast up to the Northeast, where the Gulf Coast is where the natural gas fields were originally. And the Northeast, that's where the customers are. They want to use the natural gas for their homes and businesses and industries. With the advent or the arrival of the Marcellus shale gas, things are turning around, both literally and figuratively. Some of those pipelines that have historically moved gas southwest to northeast are now going to be using Marcellus Shale gas to pump back to the Gulf Coast. That's because of the affordableness and the amazing quality and quantity of this dry natural gas out of the Marcellus Shale. When we do mapping, the initial mapping, we try to find what looks to be the best map based on photography and topography. And then we put our survey teams in the field to begin meeting with the customers, to begin meeting with landowners, to be meeting with the National Forest Service, where we looks like we may have to cross National Forest Service land, to see if we can achieve that. We're not finished with that process. In fact, the surveying will continue for most of the rest of the year. But we do strive very diligently to find the best route with the least impact to the environment, historical, and cultural resources. And let me add that the importance of talking to landowners. We come on the property with our survey teams and our land agents to talk to landowners, and we may have an idea where the pipe would like to go. And with using information from the landowner, we may reroute, we may shift. For example, they may tell us about the family cemetery that's down behind that tree. Well, certainly we're not going to go through a family cemetery. And so we've got to make sure to get that information that we can only get from talking to landowners.
This is Ernie Reed. To me, it's inconceivable that such a route could have been chosen in the first place. Augusta County, given that over half that route would be going through public lands and national forest, in Nelson County, the pipeline's totally incompatible with the values and lifestyle and the economy there. The entire economy in Nelson County is based on tourism, recreation, and agriculture. And this pipeline really threatens every facet of that. People love Nelson County for what it is and the clean water that now is so vitally important for wineries and breweries and Wintergreen Resort. So these are things that are very, very innate to us. And, this project, which, runs over the property rights of virtually our entire county, just is totally inconsistent with the things that our county is built on. And I know our Board of Supervisors is very concerned about things like, safety, how volunteer emergency services can possibly deal with a high pressure 42-inch pipeline. In 2008, there was an explosion in Appomattox on a pipeline. These things happen, and the scale of this pipeline's never been seen before. The pressure of this pipeline's never been seen before in Nelson, and hopefully it won't.
Well. Thanks, Ernie. And it's for those concerns, and that's why we do public meetings. And that's why.
And I need to stop you there because we do see the clock is getting us very close to out of time. And I think we're hearing what both sides have to say. We've also got somebody in Nelson County who's been holding on for a long time, and we want to make sure to give Joe a little bit of a chance to ask his question before we wrap up. Joe, you're on the line.
Thank you. The only comment I'd like to make is I own a home. I built it myself with my own hands. I spent 40 years in the government service. I was 16 years overseas. I'm 100% disabled veteran. And the problem I have is any construction above my home on the mountain ridge will cut my water off because my wells are fed by streams, underground streams coming down the mountain ridge. Any construction at all in the past has cut my water off, and I've had to put up to 7 wells in to maintain my home. I will lose my home if you cut across the property you intend to cut across above my home. Are you prepared to buy my home?
Jim Norville.
I'm not going to respond to a question like that directly, but I do know that the type of information that we need to know, and that's why we do these open houses. That's why we have our land agents and our survey agents in the county to have these conversations with landowners to say, make sure we get that information and put it into our planning.
Jim Norville with Dominion Energy. Our phone lines have been chocked with calls all the way through this program. I apologize to those people that we're not going to be able to get to, as well as the many Facebook posts we couldn't get to. We wanted to do our best to give everybody on our guest list today a chance to have a bit of their say. But I am curious, as we're closing out, Jim Norville, if you are surprised by the amount of passion that this pipeline proposal has evoked.
No. I've been with Dominion in one form or another since almost 28 years, including time with our electric transmission group. And the same sentiments exist, whether it's electric transmission or whether it's natural gas transmission. We understand those sentiments, and we're not surprised at all. I don't know of a single project from ours or on any other natural gas pipeline company that does not stir passion among the people that are looking at a study corridor. It's something we expect. I think it's something we plan for.
And what are you going to do to reassure people that Dominion is, in fact, going to try to proceed as fairly as possible?
Well, I think a couple things. One, the multiple meetings we're going to have over the next 2 years. Two, the process of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission encourages participation through their process by going to the website, by filing comments, by being an intervener in the case to make sure that the best answer is achieved. And from our perspective, of course, that would be the best route with the least impact to the environment, historical, and cultural resources.
Our guests have been Jim Norville, Director of Communications for Dominion Energy, Nancy Sorrells, former Augusta County Commissioner, now active with the group's Augusta County Alliance and Shenandoah Valley Network. And I'm sorry, that was actually supervisor, not commissioner, right? And Ernie Reed, president of the environmental group Wild Virginia and co-chair of the new Nelson County organization Friends of Nelson. Plus, earlier in the hour, Dan Holmes of the Piedmont Environmental Council. Thank you all so much for making time for us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
Podcasts of this program are available on the Virginia Insight tab at WMRA.org. When you get to the page for today's broadcast, you will see links to more information about our guests and the proposed Dominion Natural Gas Pipeline Project. Thanks so much for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more insight.